do we believe over time that people can change? And how do we know if that's true?
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
All right. Good morning. Another Monday, another beautiful and fun conversation here at None of Your Business. Today, we have a returning guest, actually our maiden voyage, our pioneer guest, my bestie, Kate Buck Jr. So you might
know. The one who popped your podcast cherry.
You popped my podcast cherry. Before that, I was a podcast virgin. Now, we're going at it a second time. So I don't know the sex reference for that, but
okay, yeah.
Second time's a sweeter. Anyway, but you might know Kate as the founder of Social Media Pro. She's also one of the best directors of marketing that I know. Really amazing marketing person and consultant. Great at content marketing. I regularly scam her into giving me marketing advice by bringing her food or taking her to the spa and asking her 5,000 questions. So aside from this business life, which a lot of you might obviously have, but also you also take care of your personal life and are really into personal development. Kate actually started her journey in personal development when she was 19 and has been through all programs, courses, books, seminars, and she's really into this inward journey of getting to know oneself, making your, you know, soul healthier, not just your body. And it's very evident on her hobbies now. She's now into yoga, salsa, meditation, all things spiritual, you know, like exorcisms and possessions. But yeah. Hey, Kate, how are you?
That is the first time I've ever been introduced like that. And yeah, salsa, I didn't know salsa was spiritual, but actually it is. It's true what Carla said. Like, when I was 19, I was like trying to figure out what I want to be when I grew up. And my friend invited me to something called the Landmark Forum. And there may be like mixed reviews, doesn't matter. It was my first time experiencing that life. It doesn't have to be the way that we see it. Like they talk about that there's this world that you know, and you know that you know it. And then there's a world that you don't know, but you know that you don't know it. And then there's the world of what you don't know that you don't know. And inside of that, I became very fascinated with that. And so it was from there that then, like, I went to all the Tony Robbins courses and, you know, I went to all the Joe Dispenza courses, and I've read all the important texts. I have my yoga teacher training. It's like, yeah, definitely people would consider me a personal development junkie. Because I mean, most of these things I've done multiple times. But the reason is because I always get something new out of it. And many times these things like radically have transformed my life. And so, you know, one of my number one core values is growth, right? And so I actually think that is my highest pursuit. I feel like I'm always in pursuit of the truth. As a matter of fact, that whole part about like Social Media Pro and blah, 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 like the business world was just a venture to learn, right? Because I wanted to learn and master a new skill, but learning is the real thing that is for me. And so that's why I even like got my yoga teacher training. I'm not teaching yoga, but I wanted to study the sutras. Interesting that you asked me about this topic right now, because I'm actually reading a book called A Course in Miracles And again, these are all things where people have like these opinions about them because they've heard whatever. And maybe they're attracted to it, interested, or they're like, whoa, this is, it's a channeled text that this woman, apparently Jesus came to her and explained sort of like in layman's terms and in a way that we can apply it, what the Bible meant. Either way, it doesn't matter. I want to read all the texts because I don't want to be that person that's biased about my point of view or another point of view. But I also don't want to be the person that doesn't know what they're talking about either. So I read the Bhagavad Gita, I read the Yoga Sutras, I've read the Bible, you know, I've studied quantum physics with a lot of the great teachers like Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, Greg Braden, all that. Anyways, so today we're going to talk about forgiveness. And it's really interesting because that is A Course in Miracles, actually, that, oh, I don't know if you even said that that's what the topic's going to be, but I just jumped in.
It's fine.
Forgive me. Fine. Forgive me.
I forgive you. So today's topic is actually about forgiveness. I think, you know, as business owners, we can tend to be too forgiving or too unforgiving. And then aside from that, as business owners, yes, but aside from that, also in our personal lives, it affects how we deal with the people around us. And I just thought this was a great kind of topic to delve into and have a deep conversation on. And I thought Kate is a great guest for this because we're super best friends, and I want her to forgive me if I do something.
She's like, this is just, I'm setting it up. If I need to forward you this podcast ever in the future, because
remember,
we have some
bitch,
incident.
What you said
remember,
about this?
Yeah. Remember what you said about forgiveness. Well, I mean, interesting, actually, that is also funny inside joke that I'll out is that, recently one of my really good friends and I, one of my closest friends and I, not Carla, but somewhere in line over there, I don't feel like organizing people in order at this moment. Anyways, we had a falling out, and it was her who did the thing to me. And I had to reference back, and I was so glad that I had been the one to fuck up first, because she forgave me. And so I had like an example, and I did PS refer back to the email because I'm a Scorpio and I don't forget anything. Mm-hmm. But actually, I do think that I am like, I am kind of in general good at forgiveness in some ways. Like, for instance, I'm always late. I'm always 2 to 3 minutes. I'm always late. My name is Kate. It rhymes with late. Like, I'm late. So I have to apologize and ask for forgiveness a lot. And just like what Carla said, one of the best ways to like make that easier is like be the change. So I'm always forgive, almost always, unless, you know what I mean? Like there's times that it's not, but like I try to be forgiving of others because I want them to be forgiving of me. I have my friends that have a lot of rules, like people that need you to be on time and they need you to never cancel plans and they need you to, you know, whatever, like my life is messy. I'm busy. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a drama queen. I'm all these things. And so someone to be my friend, they have to forgive me. They have to put up with that basically. So I'm very generous on the giving side so I can guilt them into staying my friend. And I do a lot of upfront forgiving because I want to demonstrate to them what to do when they have, when I mess up very soon. And so they'll forgive me. And what if we all just did that? What if we all just did that? What if we, that was what I started to say. So the A Course in Miracles, what's interesting about that is the actual miracle that they're talking about is forgiveness. The miracle of life is forgiveness, because when you forgive something, you make it disappear. It's right. Not there anymore. So whatever was between us, if we have a little something, if we forgive it, it just disappears. And what if we both forgave it before we ever had to talk about it or say anything? That's the miracle, is we get restored to love. Marianne Williamson studied Course in Miracles, and she has a book called Return to Love. And I think that's what in that text, and I'm not all about that text, but I'm just explaining it because I'm in it right now. I love that return to love. It restores us back to a place of love, whether that's whatever, brotherly love, friendly love, coworker love, whatever. If we have that affinity for someone and something happens, the faster you can forgive, the faster you get back to that affinity. It's that when we hang on to those grudges for a really long time that, you know, like it makes us tired, or, you know what I mean? It wears on our health. You know, we are separate from people that we love, and, you know, in personal development terms, they would say like, oh, well, you're getting to be right. And that's what you get. So you're like feeding yourself this righteousness, which our egos want and need, but it's also costing you something, right? Because everything is energy. So I'm receiving, I get to be right, but what am I losing in the process? And when you look at what you're losing, oftentimes, is it worth being right? Is it worth being justified? Is it worth being whatever it is? And some, I don't know, maybe we can take this another direction. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes our minds, we weigh the pros and cons, and the answer is actually yes. I do have a grudge with one of my exes that is coming into question. I may let it go very soon. It's been a few years, but for the time, maybe I needed it. I needed that to get me to where I am now, to kind of have that grudge or whatever. Maybe it was useful in some way, but most times it's not. And it's really sad when you see people like 20 years, I hadn't talked to my sister, because they're like holding some grudge. Or we see it a lot in the business world, and as this podcast is for entrepreneurs, that somebody doesn't pay somebody, somebody makes a post on Facebook. There's lots of ways that we get upset with each other. When you haven't, you have friendship is one thing, you add business on top of it, you just keep you're complicating the relationship even more, and more opportunities to mess up, you know, make a mistake, hurt somebody's feelings, say something wrong, handle something wrong, drop the ball. And so wait, we have lots of opportunities for forgiveness.
Right. So, I definitely agree with most of it, but my demon self, hashtag, I'm going to buy that
domain. I exercise you.
My demon self is asking, well, if we could just forgive, that would be nice if we could just forgive all the time. But like, this is why we need contracts and lawyers and the police, because we can't just forgive all the time. And it's kind of sad, right? It's kind of sad. Like, I wish that we didn't have to do these things, but there are people that may provide or cause certain harm in your life, whether it's personally or in business, that may not deserve, I don't know if that's the right word, your forgiveness. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that there are instances or certain people that don't deserve forgiveness?
Well, there's two, like, now we're in personal development. I have to draw two circles on the screen here. In the holistic sense of how life goes, and like whatever it is that people believe is beyond this world, I do believe that every person is human and they're all doing their best. So that's that's in the spiritual sense of like, what is it to be human, right? So even when a person does something bad or hurts you or whatever, like, in my personal opinion, they are still like a child of God, or whatever word you want to use. Like, they're still the same as you. They're human in a sense, however misguided they might be. And so in that world, I believe in like karma, and it's not my job to judge or condemn or whatever. Now, then on the other hand, we're humans, and we don't get to live in that utopia fairy tale world where the universe balances everything out, so thus we don't need to worry and think about it, right? And everything's fair, equitable at the end of infinity. Like sometimes you don't have until infinity to wait for somebody to get their coming, what's mm-hmm. due to them. Right. You know, like I'm not getting younger, you know, I'm not getting any younger. So in the human world, you're right. It's different. We do have to, this is where we actually live. So like one of the interesting things about Course in Miracles is exactly what you're saying. Like, wouldn't it be nice if we forgive, but we just automatically forgave anyone who did anything to us, but it doesn't necessarily work that way here. I think what it does though is it gives us a different approach. So I do think people need to be held accountable, boundaries and consequences. These are my boundaries and these are the consequences of them. I don't think you have to do that in a mean-spirited, hateful, judgy, punishment way. It's more about you and your world and protecting the energy that comes in. And it's like, okay, well, you're beautiful and a child of God, whatever it is, insert your labels here. And that's fine. But you're, you know, because of this, you're not allowed in my, you know, space anymore. And so I do think that we need things like agreements and contracts, apologies. You know, if there was a world where we always just automatically forgave people, then you would never need to apologize. And I don't think that works in this circle over here in the human world. I think even if you're my best friend and I know you're going to forgive me, the simple act of me asking for forgiveness is important. It's acknowledging that I know that I fucked up and I'm aware, I have awareness. And I'm not, and you know, I'm committed to being a better person in the future. You can tell I've done this a few times. And so there's all these, you know, there's steps to restoring integrity. And Marianne Williamson actually does talk about this a little bit. So I think that's interesting for her being someone who's so Course in Miracles. She does talk about this because she's very big on reparations for slavery and stuff like that. She's like, listen, just because if you stole $1,000 from me, you know, what are your, you know, and you acknowledge it. Oh, I'm so sorry. I stole $1,000 from you. Like, that's not enough. You know what I mean? I apologize, Carla, that I stole $1,000 from you. It's not enough. I need to pay you back. And if I pay you back now, again, it kind of maybe goes away, but if I want to repair the relationship with you, I now have to go above and beyond. I have to now ask you, Carla, what is it going to take for you to trust me again? And I wrote this blog post called Steps to Restoring Integrity. And those are the steps to restoring a relationship. Apologize. Complete whatever it was that you didn't do. And then you have to ask the person whose toe you stepped on, or, you know, where the damage was done, like, what is it that they need from you? This works in a business setting because, like, for instance, somebody's on your team and they keep missing a deadline or they keep, you know, not following the SOP. They can come to you and say, you know, I got it. I'm sorry. I haven't been doing this properly. And, you know, I fixed it. I fixed the problem. But now it's like, what are you going to do in the future so that it doesn't happen again? And as your boss or your team leader or the client, how long of you getting it right do I need before I believe you again? Right? I think that's important because it's like, well, I'm just not, maybe the first time I will just like automatically go, okay, yeah, she just messed up. She's not going to do that anymore. But if you keep doing it over time, it's like, I'm going to need you to do this for a month, right? I'm going to need you to not mess up so that I can trust, so we can build trust again once it's broken. So I do agree with you that we can talk about forgiveness in like this hierarchical spiritual sense. And then we can kind of talk about it in the real world. And I know timing wise, I'm supposed to toss it back to you, but the example of my past history with my ex is a great example of where I said in the human world, like I needed that. Like I believe I was wronged right? I believe the other person didn't act in integrity. Mm-hmm. And because of that, there were consequences. Not only, you know, did we separate, but like, I still don't believe that that person in certain ways should be trusted. But now it's been like 3 years, right? And so now what, maybe it's not forgiveness, if that's not the word that somebody wants to use, but like, now what is that grudge doing for me? Right. In this moment, they're nowhere near me. They don't engage with me. They don't, there's no impact on me. So I have to evaluate if holding that grudge is worth it. And I'm gonna throw it back to you, because I think it begs the question is, do we believe over time that people can change? Mm-hmm. And how do we know if that's true? You know, how do we gauge that if it's true? Because what's also happened is recently I've reconnected with an old friend who was accused of some of the same things that my ex was accused of, but like it didn't happen to me. I wasn't part of the story. Number one. And number two, it's been a decade. So then your mind goes to, but like, should they still be punished for crimes that happened mm-hmm. a year ago? Or when is the right time to give somebody a blank slate and a fresh start? I don't know the answer.
Yeah, no, that's a tough one for sure. I've had friends who wronged me that I cannot, like what you said, I think I could forgive them, like in my heart for my peace of mind, but I think I will not interact with them anymore. It is just my journey to have. And I would benefit from having zero interaction with that person. That mm-hmm. would actually benefit me. I have enough friends. Like throughout the years, you know, I've forgiven people that didn't deserve it too. And the tough thing here is that you're trying to be a good person, but you always blame yourself because you feel stupid, right, for doing mm-hmm. it. So you're just trying to be this good person. You're trying to be forgiving. If you're religious, you think it's godly and it brings you closer to God to forgive, right? Like Jesus said that thing about, you know, washing people's feet. And, well, you know, that's a metaphor for like, no matter how dirty you are, you know, Jesus is not too humble to forgive you. So if you're like religious, then you have that kind of thinking. But then for me, I ask myself, how do I benefit from this experience? And mm-hmm. usually I benefit from it by watching out for red flags so that I don't make the mistake again. And then the number two benefit would be like, I would benefit from peace, the peace of not having this person in my life. Like mm-hmm. I have mm-hmm. friends, I have my family, I have my team that want the best for me. I don't care if that person acts like or opens up and wants me to give me the world. Honestly, I have some people that I can't forgive, quote unquote, to that level. Like I'm mm-hmm. fine. We're fine. Let's coexist.
Yes. But forgiveness really is about the disappearance of it, but their energy has disappeared from your space too. So mm-hmm. there's not, I agree with you that there's not, like we don't have to forgive and keep everyone in our life. I think we'd go insane. I've been recently, you know, really grappling with that because I have some friends from when I was younger that we were so close even into our adult life. But now there's just this new phase for me when I moved to Mexico. And if in order for us to keep up and stay close, and social media has really made that very challenging with every single person that we ever became friends with, whether they wronged us or not, it's almost like if you have a falling out and the relationship is not worth saving already, or like trying to work it out, then we all have enough friends to Facebook. There's plenty more, like, you know, I get that. It's like, let it go. But one of my friends, Julia and I, we actually had a turning point in our relationship where we had a falling out years ago and we didn't talk for a very long time. And then when we decided to reach out, we actually had a conscious conversation just as friends, we think about that we should only have these conversations in romantic relationships And it's ridiculous. It was my, you know, it was both of us come to the table with what do we need out of the relationship in order for it to continue. Mm-hmm. And if it made sense, like if I was willing and mm-hmm. able to be the friend that Julia needed and vice versa, then we would continue on. And who's not to say that we won't need to rehave that conversation mm-hmm. like every decade. You know, Esther Perel wrote this book called Mating in Captivity, and it's about how we're living like 2-3 times longer than we were when marriage was invented. So how do you keep like passion and whatever alive in your relationship for that long? I think the same is true as our friendships, is we may outgrow those contracts, right, the agreements that we have with our friends when we're in a certain place. And sometimes, I guess if I'm speaking spiritually, I do think that that sometimes we have already outgrown the relationship, but not necessarily removed ourselves from the situation. And that's even why one of these things breaks, right, in a friendship, is because you've been hanging out in a relationship that you outgrew, you know, anyway. But nonetheless, also they just happen because people are assholes. Yeah. And they think for themselves. You know, there's this distinction, and I'll mention Julia again. She and I have been friends for like 20 something years. So I have we've had a lot of opportunities to forgive each other and figure stuff out. She's my longest relationship in my whole life, besides my mm-hmm. sister, my parents. But she makes a distinction between friends and allies. And I do think in this world of social media and, you know, networking and business groups and whatever, is we have so many friends, people that we hang out with, that we have fun with, that we send memes to, that we call our friends. But allies, you know, are another level, and that's your inner circle. Those are the people that, when they make decisions that will impact you, they think about you and them. Still, right. You have to choose for yourself what's right for you always, but do you consider somebody else's feelings before you make that decision? If you're important to me, I will consider your feelings. I might still hurt them if it's following my authentic, you know, if that's what's true for me. But if someone is just living their life and they are not, you know, an ally, then we all have tons of friends. Like if somebody screws you over or says something stupid, you don't have to like hold a grudge forever, but you also can just like uninvite that person to the pizza party, you know, like just don't engage.
Yeah. I love that point about friends and allies, because it's so right. Like you and I have a significant amount of business that come from social media, for example, and we go to conferences and we meet people, we hang out with them, they become our friends, and they like, we'll have like one or two cocktails with them, but you can't really say that they have your back when it's needed, right? And so I think having that distinction also makes it easier for you to manage your expectations from someone, whether it's about what to expect from them to give to you, and also, if you wrong them or they wrong you, what kind of wound it might look like. So I like that nuance, because if you're also the person that did the wrong thing, you also can remember that if you apologize and if you were sincere, you don't have to, it's enough. You know, it's enough. And you're sincere. You want to make it right. I've had people in business that have wronged me in the past that were like a service that wasn't properly delivered, or I paid something and then it wasn't up to my expectation. And we would have, you know, a conversation about it. But then I, you know, after refunding me and saying a sincere sorry, we're fine. I don't demand more from them. And they also know that that's enough. And we don't need to invite each other to each other's potlucks, you know? So that's a good distinction. I like that. And also protecting your real allies, your ride or die people, having that mindset of you might have to invest more in them, in forgiveness, in terms of understanding them when they wrong you, you know, give them a little bit more space. And if you wrong them, do a little bit more, because these people matter more to your life. So I like that for sure. What would you consider yourself like a forgiving person? And have you ever regretted forgiving someone?
I do consider myself a forgiving person because, like I said, I've tried to forgive. Well, I say that, but I'm really forgiving, like you said, with my close friends, because like, if I care about you, I am going to be the first, I'm going to do my best to be the first one to apologize. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try anyway. I think we're all talking in our best light. I'm sure Carla can probably tell you times where I didn't jump to apologize, but the other joke between Carla and I is that I am a habitual dater of narcissists. So I'm really practiced at apologizing first, because normally that means you're apologizing only. So I'm quick to take responsibility, like when things mess up, even if like it really actually is the other person's fault. Oftentimes I can see how I contributed to it, or how, you know, by not supporting them, or by my tone, or, you know, like lots of stuff can be, and personal development taught me that. Landmark was about 100% responsibility. They were like, this 50-50 is bullshit. If you can't take responsibility, I use the Chris Rock, Will Smith thing as an example. Remember like when they slapped at the Oscars or something like that. Both teams came out with press releases apologizing for the incident. Now, I know that was all a show, but it's a good, you know, but you can learn something from that, where like one person says, hey, if I hadn't done this, then the situation wouldn't have happened. And the other person says, hey, yeah, you know, I also could have been in control of my emotions, or I could have made different decisions and this situation wouldn't have happened, because it takes two to tango, right? And so there's always two sides. So no matter whether you believe the other person has totally wronged you, there's almost a lot of times there's something, and like you said, almost to a fault, or to a fault, where we blame ourselves, like, I was stupid. I shouldn't have fallen for that scam. I shouldn't have lent that person money. Why did I believe them? Why did I go there? Why did I forgive them that 100th time? To the point of, have I regretted it? I do regret. So benefit of the doubt tends to be my MO. I want to believe that people are inherently good and not intending to hurt. So I do have regrets in that. there's one person actually that I wish would forgive me for something that I don't actually believe was like that big of a wrongdoing, but nonetheless, I can see where, you know, I understand why they're hurt, but she is mad at me and will never talk to me again. And she was such an important person in my life. I did write multiple times in an email and ask for forgiveness. And then I had to just accept that she's not ever going to give it to me. And I actually was just thinking about it the other day, like maybe it's time to like write another email. Again, I didn't really even do anything that I believe is so like unforgivable, but in her world it is. I do regret in my past relationship having been so forgiving. Like, I feel like at the end of the day, it was like almost a decade of my life where with all my friends and everyone, like, what are you doing? You know, and I just kept repeating the same challenge, but that points to self-forgiveness, right?
Right.
And I have to forgive myself for continuing to make that decision for so long, not learning the lesson or not leaving or making a change, but you can't go back and fix those things. And now I feel very well equipped to handle future situations, I hope. Although I don't know, it's all questionable. Recent events makes it a little bit questionable, but I do feel better. I do feel like I learned something. And so I know that it wasn't a total waste. And again, just to point back to my spiritual beliefs, I do believe at some point in my life, I'll have more understanding of the situation than I do now. Because I think when you're in it, in your life, you're here. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, that's why we use the, and same thing in business. Like when you're in your business, you're in it and you can't see the 30,000 foot view. So you can't like future cast. You can only see what's happening like right in front of your face. You're in like survival mode. So once you're out of it and you have some perspective, you know, you can see more about like why things happen. And I recently had a really, really huge understanding of why I kept habitually making these same patterns and these same mistakes. And it was so freeing because, that kind of, that those kind of breakthroughs do allow for like forgiveness, because now it's not about the person and it's not about me being dumb and making the stupid same mistakes or getting myself in situations. It was a pattern that I learned somewhere along the way. And I didn't know that I didn't know I was repeating a pattern. And so now if it's not their fault and it's not, you know, my fault, it's just a pattern. There's like freedom. Nobody's really at fault there anymore, which is why I said it's kind of starting to break up a little bit of this grudge or whatever that I've been holding. Is it's like, okay, it's not impacting me now. And I could see that there was something that was driving me that I was like kind of like addicted to this repeating, making the same choice over and over again. And when you forgive yourself again, just things disappear when you do. So I agree with you though. That doesn't mean I'm inviting this person back.
Right.
It doesn't mean you even have to go tell them. It has nothing to do exactly. with them. Like the forgiveness is you in your heart and you can keep your little energetic barriers up that are like, I forgive you, but you know, you still don't come over.
Yeah. Here. I forgive you, but here's a cease and desist. For my soul.
Restraining order.
Restraining order, exactly.
Yes, I deliver it to you in the quantum.
Exactly. The universe will take care of it. That's so interesting because I had a similar experience actually a few months ago. One of my exes out of nowhere reached out to me. And him and I had a, we only dated for like a few months. And then I wouldn't say he didn't treat me well. He definitely treat me well in terms of just the day-to-day stuff. But I knew he was like always lying to me. And I'm almost sure he cheated on me. And then he said that out of nowhere, he said, I want to reach out to you and I just want to give you a call and apologize. And this is like 1.5 years after. And then in that moment, I'm like, I was very like, okay, well, I'm busy. So call me on Monday at 5 p.m. to apologize. I actually I told him that. And then he was like, okay, I'm going to call at 5 p.m. on Monday to apologize. And then on Sunday, I actually like blocked him. I realized that in that moment, I was being shallow and petty. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I need to hear this apology. Apologize to me, you know? But afterwards, I realized that I'm fine not hearing from you. I'm fine. And let's keep it that way. I forgive you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think we necessarily need to do that all the time. You know, there's a lot of like journaling or write the letter to yourself
right.
in your notes or, you know, and sometimes even people do like ceremonies, maybe burn it. Yeah. You know, these are some of the things that you can do when you want to, maybe you just want to forgive, like, again, make it not about the person and make it, yeah, you know, maybe you just want to forgive the situation and
for
just
yourself, by, like you said,
for yourself and just, it's just about letting it go. And so it doesn't mean that we need to go get entangled. So I love that you made that choice for yourself because getting that apology face to face, sometimes you need it and sometimes you don't. And the only person who really knows is you. You have to listen to yourself and listen to your own body and your own heart to know, you know, if you need an apology like that.
Yeah, that's good. So. Yeah. So I like those practices through journaling. I think forgiveness is a release In itself, I think to summarize it all, I think forgiveness is a release. And if you release things by crying about it, thinking about it, journaling about it, writing it down, whatever that looks like for you to release it, just do it, right? I don't even care if you want to go out and drink with your friends and talk about it all night, if that's your way to release it. I think that's the, and when you release something, then you feel lighter. And,
yeah, you know, you are lighter and you make room for what's next. Because even if you don't think it's bothering you, a lot of times those things are just like chewing away at your subconscious. So yeah, you're right. Maybe it's get in the gym and hit a punching bag or run it out or go to
yell
the spa
at a pillow,
and
like you said,
sweat it out or like yell at your friends. Like I did when I got in from the airport and somebody asks me, how are you? And then for 1 hour, I just yelled about the whole situation. My friends were like, we just wanted to know
my
how
friends,
you were.
Your friends were like, where's the Xanax? I thought this came with a goodie bag with a Xanax in it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, everyone take your Xanax. And now I need to release. Yeah. So I think this is a really intense topic. And I think there's a lot of layers to it. Like we said, like there's the day-to-day stuff, then there's work stuff, there's friend stuff. And then there's like this deeper relationships and or bigger things to forgive. So it's a really big topic and it's hard to really digest. But I do think if you can think about it in terms of like, there's this idea of spiritual forgiveness and then like, how does that apply in human world? And like you said, it's really more about the release. And so whatever you need to do that, it's again, it's for you, but then keeping those healthy boundaries. So
I love
tough
that.
Tough topic.
I know. Well, thank you so much for discussing this with me. It's such a great topic. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have a lot to think about today. Maybe some people to forgive, maybe some people to ask forgiveness from. But it's always a win. You feel lighter, it's a release. So I encourage you to give it a little bit more thought. It's the lighter you feel, the better you feel. It's always going to be better for your health, for the people around you, and of course, for your business. So if you want to follow Kate, where can they find you and where can they ask forgiveness from you?
Yes, please come begging. I'm Kate Buck Jr. on all the platforms and I await your groveling messages, especially all my boyfriends and friends that I've mentioned in this podcast. When you hear this, I'll be waiting for your apologies.
He also accepts chocolates, flowers, candles,
Zelle,
Zelle. Cash App transfers. Everyone who has unpaid invoices, apologize right now. Okay, well, that goes to my clients too. I'm just kidding. But thank you so much, Kate. This is a beautiful conversation and I'll see you soon.
All right, see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.